540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Biden, in an Oval Office address earlier, makes the case for continued U.S. support for two countries at war.
We're facing an inflection point in history.
He's talking about the wars in Ukraine and Israel and the need for continued U.S. support, saying it is a vital national security interest.
It's a smart investment that's going to pay dividends for American security for generations.
Because if Hamas and Putin are not stopped, he says, they will just keep on going.
Hamas and Putin represent different threats, but they share this in common. They both want to completely annihilate a neighboring democracy, completely annihilated.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
CBS's David Martin reports the USS Kearney in the Northern Red Sea has shot down three land attack cruise missiles and several drones launched by Iranian-backed Houthis in Yemen and fired in the direction of Israel.
The Pentagon is considering retaliatory strike again, but is faced with a dilemma that any military action might set off exactly what President Biden is trying to avoid, a wider Middle East war.
The State Department issues a rare worldwide alert for American citizens traveling overseas to exercise increased caution because of heightened tensions. But CBS's Catherine Herridge reports there are also potential threats here in the U.S.
With emotions running high at protests across the country, in New York City to Chicago and Washington, D.C., a new federal law enforcement bulletin obtained by CBS News warns individuals or so-called lone offenders inspired by or reacting to the ongoing Israel-Hamas conflict pose the most likely threat to Americans.
House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan will make a third attempt tomorrow morning at becoming Speaker of the House. CBS's Scott McFarland says a proposal to elevate an acting speaker fell apart during a fiery Republican conference meeting.
There are more fractures in the relationships among House Republicans, which are complicating this effort to get unified and get to 217 votes behind anybody, be it Ohio's Jim Jordan or an alternative.
CBS's Jim Krasula on why you may want to think twice about eating too much red meat.
Eating more than one serving of red meat a week may increase your chance of developing type 2 diabetes. That's according to researchers at the Harvard University School of Public Health.
Red meat's high levels of saturated fat is why researchers believe it increases the risk of type 2 diabetes. Bruce Springsteen fans will soon be able to visit a center dedicated to the rock star. Monmouth University will launch the Bruce Springsteen Archives and Center for American Music in his home state of New Jersey. It is expected to open in 2026. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication? He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
There's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Robert. And this portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Native owned, bringing us the best coffee that keeps us awake.
Yeah, that's right. I am awake. Hey, we got a crazy show today, and we're really excited. We got Roya Taylor, Bob Blake, and a couple segments with Bob, and we're talking about some stuff. And also, before we get going here, I know we have the governor, Governor Evers, giving us an update, as he does weekly. I just want to give a quick shout out about Saturday, Reframing Our Stories exhibit opening, you know, talking about Native Americans, all the pictures they found and exhibits from Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we're going to go live at 1 p.m. So stop by and say hi to Haley while I'm kibitzing on the radio live.
Yes, you guys come hang out with us at the Minnesota History Center this Saturday, October 21st from 11 to 2. We'll be going live there. So, yeah, come look through the photographs with us and see if you can spot any of your relatives back from the 50s and 60s.
And 70s. Oh, wow. Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
And then tomorrow, and I guess there is limited for the movie that's going to be playing here, The Killers of the Flower Moon. That will be happening tonight and then tomorrow, and then next week we'll talk about it. 3.5 hours, but I hear it goes really fast. And also, I always talk about the fact that Cannes, when it was shown at Cannes, it had a 45-minute standing ovation. It was so good. So I'm excited to see that. So much going on around here in the Twin Cities. But without further ado, you didn't know I spoke French, did you, Haley? Further ado. Take a listen to Governor Evers of Wisconsin.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Republicans are dragging their feet on the most pressing issues facing our state, even as Wisconsin's small businesses, farmers and producers, hospitals and healthcare sectors, and schools, among other critical employers and industries, continue to face significant challenges filling available jobs. And with each day of Republican delay and inaction, Wisconsin families, employers, and communities, especially in our rural areas, pay the price. Child care centers are closing their doors in communities like Lancaster and Cashton. Providers are raising their rates so that they can pay their staff and their bills. Kids and families are on child care wait lists if they can find care nearby at all. The truth is, Wisconsin child care providers, parents, and workforce can't afford continued Republican inaction. I'm announcing emergency stopgap funding to stabilize our state's child care industry and prevent its imminent collapse. I'm directing $170 million to continue the Child Care Accounts program to help support our child care industry through the end of the biennium, providing direct relief to over 4,000 child care providers statewide. I promise to do everything I could to stabilize our child care industry, support working families, and recruit, retain, and train a workforce that can meet the needs of the 21st century, and I keep my promises. But I also want to be clear, while I'm hopeful this investment will stave off an urgent collapse of our state's child care industry, this is a stopgap measure and will still not make our child care providers whole. Republicans must do the right thing, put politics aside, and join us in the important work of finding real solutions for the real challenges facing our state. And I'll keep fighting for child care providers, working families, employers, and our communities every day until they do. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Roots Radio.
Wow. Hey, thanks, Governor Evers, for that update. Thank goodness we have Governor Evers in Wisconsin.
Right, right. Yeah, and just talking about, too, like, kids and families on child care wait lists, that is just really, really hard. You know, if parents can't find people to watch their kids, they can't go to work and they can't make a living, let alone pay for child care services. So, yeah, I'm just... That's really great news to hear that Governor Tony Evers did put the emergency stopgap funding towards child care in the state of Wisconsin. I don't know if you knew this before, Robert, but right out of college, I was actually working at a pretty fancy daycare. I'm not going to say which one here in Minnesota, but I was an infant teacher, and I would hear all the time from parents just not necessarily complaining, but, you know, worried about how they're going to be able to pay for the next month of childcare at the place I was at. And it was always just so devastating to hear that parents and families were concerned and not able to find care.
I know. And it's crazy because it's a double-edged sword. If you can't find or can't afford for child care, and you can't afford to work, like you said, and if you can't afford to work, you can't afford child care costs. So, my goodness.
Yeah, but luckily they have the Governor Tony Evers trying to do some good work there.
You know, I'm wondering too, and this is just speculation, and maybe we can ask Arvina when she's on again, or somebody from Wisconsin. I know Tony Evers is getting up there in years. Who do we have in the waiting to run for governor? That's
a good question.
Because I think he's going to be 74 years old, if I'm not mistaken, when he's running for re-election. So is he up for it again? I know he had some health issues. I know I think he suffers from Crohn's or something like that. So he's really kicking butt, and we just hope the best for him in Wisconsin. We love going into Wisconsin. I see you went in there today.
I did. I had a fun little hike this morning out of Willow River State Park, which is very close to the St. Croix River here, just across the border between Minnesota and Wisconsin. So, yeah, just being a Ho-Chunk descendant, I had to go put some good medicine in one of those Wisconsin rivers this morning.
And you saw an interesting sign. I wonder if you want to just quickly touch base on that, because it was very interesting.
Yes. So, yeah, I know you and I briefly talked about this before, but so there's a sign out there at the Willow Falls out there at Willow River State Park. And there's a sign that says 1910 Willow Falls was once a hidden gem undisturbed by humans. That is until 1914, a German immigrant by the name of Christian Bjerkard, seeing great potential for the power in the rushing water of the falls, built his mill.
Thank goodness.
I know. So, like, apparently people didn't exist, you know, in the state of Wisconsin before 1910, but,
yeah,
you know, no one heard those falls rushing, apparently. I guess there were no Native Americans around, but
Well, even 1910, for goodness sakes. I know the French have been here and gone back and forth in Wisconsin in the 1600s. They didn't stumble upon that?
I don't think so. I think there were people that knew about that.
Thank goodness for the Germans and the it sounds like they put together some sort of dam or something, huh?
Yeah, right. Didn't leave it natural. Of course, I got to build something on it.
Right on. Well, hey, thanks for investigating that. And I know that's an awesome, awesome place. And it looked like the water was running good, which is good because, you know, we're on the borderline of a big drought here in the five-state area. And I know we've had some rain lately, and that's a good sign. But that's enough of my weather report. Why don't we take a break here? And who do we got up next there, Haley?
We've got Bob Blake from Red Lake Nation with the Solar Bear with the Solar News.
Right on. And then in between that, we have Roya Taylor of KFAI stopping in and giving us an update of what's happening around the Twin Cities and a little bit about his radio show.
Yeah, very good stuff.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Support honest Native news from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Honestly honest, I like to say here on Native Roots Radio. And we have a special guest, as always, feel like it's special, is Robert Blake. And he's the owner of Solar Bear and also CEO of Native Sun, nonprofit solar company. And we're always great to have Robert on here, but we're going to stretch it out a little bit today. We're going to have Robert on a couple segments here, but we wanted to talk a little bit about, again, like we did yesterday with Senator Agard from Wisconsin. We want to talk a little bit about what's happening here, good and bad, with the marijuana. And Bob, you're Bob Blake from Red Lake, and your tribe's selling legal cannabis in a good way and first on there, and we really support this economic development in this tribe, in your tribe.
Yeah, Robert, thank you. I think that's incredible that, you know, all this is taking place and probably should have taken place a long time ago. But I think about that group of kids that were on spring break, I think it was last year or the year before, they were in Florida, and they bought that laced marijuana with fentanyl, and they died, you know? And I really feel like if we're going to have this, you know, I mean, you know, this has been happening for years, you know, kids have been smoking, you know, marijuana and whatnot for years, but I just don't want people to die for wanting to, you know, I guess partake in which has been kind of like a, you know, a natural, you know, right, you know, in growing up. Know what I mean? And these kids, you know, died from that. So, you know, I think Red Lake taking the lead on this and getting kind of out of the gate first of this, you know. And I think that individuals that are old enough to purchase and use recreationally, you know, safely, you know, I just think that is really good for the industry as a whole, you know. And so I wholeheartedly support Red Lake and all tribal nations that want to be involved in this industry, you know, especially, Robert, when you consider that, let's be honest, that Black and brown people, you know, BIPOC communities have borne, you know, the biggest, the biggest brunt of this during the drug wars.
Right, the drug wars. And remember, our friend Bill Clinton did three strikes and you're out. And there's a lot of people that are in prison right now that you might have been their third strike, might have been selling marijuana, you know. And that was a bad thing that happened. And it happened directly with BIPOC people.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kind of interesting, Robert, I've been asked to sit on a panel that's going to be happening coming up. And I don't have all the details yet, but, you know, we're going to be talking about this issue. And I think that one of the things that, you know, is of concern, you know, especially in BIPOC communities, is outside corporate interests that, you know, want to be in this industry, and, you know, take then the proceeds out of state. Right. Those aren't the communities that have suffered the most, you know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, I really do believe that there needs to be some type of, you know, that this conversation does need to happen. I'm glad that it's being formed right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the way that I understand it, it's St. Paul College that's forming this conversation. So, you know, I'm really excited to participate in this and really give my opinion on it. But, you know, it really is, you know, I think an equity issue, and it really is, you know, it's about doing what's right. You know, when it comes right down to it. So I hope to see that this industry, you know, take the necessary precautions to legitimize itself, you know, through right. continuing education, through certifications. Those are things that I've been in conversation with. And, you know, and so I hope that those types of steps that we're taking, you know, as community members from these communities that have been most affected by it, you know, really get heard up at the Capitol, you know, when they're making these decisions on who gets licensed and who doesn't get licensed in the state.
I feel like that was kind of part of the promise, at least when I've had people talking about on my radio show, is to include BIPOC communities because they were highly affected by this, whether, you know, we have per capita more Native Americans in prison than any other group of people. And then I'm sure the next is African Americans. And, you know, this to me, if I think I have a good memory, but this to me was part of the promise here in Minnesota.
You know, I think that those promises are, you know, I hope are going to be kept. I don't want to say that they're not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that this is a way, you know, for us in our communities, you know, who have been affected by this, you know, to really advocate and really remind the powers that be that, you know, those promises were made.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be a part, you know, of, you know, the maturity of this industry. And we want to see those benefits, you know, directly support those communities, like I've said before, that have been most affected. And I think that one of the ways that we do that is through, you know, certifications, through this education, through this legitimizing the industry that, you know, you need to hold a certain, you know, something to be working in it. You need to be licensed by the state, you know, something like that, right?
Right.
Continuing education. You know, I mean, we have, you know, my hairstyle, you know, I go get my hair done, Robert.
Looks good.
And she has to go and sit yep. through continuing education.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, we are letting individuals, you know, purchase, you know, a form of hallucination. You know, that should be someone doing that should probably have a license or something. So that's why I say, like, you know, I think that's going to put it, to me, in my opinion, that allows the legitimacy to happen in this industry, and also the ability for I'm speaking just for myself, Robert, but
mm-hmm.
I think that the local ownership and the dollars right. that they in our state and support our communities, you know, more.
Well, I don't want to get into a situation, and this is probably spitballing a little too much, Robert, but I don't want to get into a situation where a foreign company comes in like a pipeline and doesn't care about the economy. I don't want a out-of-state business to come in here and take profits, like you said earlier, out of state. I want this to be homegrown in more than one way, not just as cannabis, but also homegrown in the BIPOC community and businesses. We deserve that, right? Again, we were affected the most and have been affected the most legally, and it's just the right thing to do, and we need to keep on talking about that, and it sounds great that you're going to be able to speak on that in the symposium.
Yeah, absolutely. And this all just came about with, you know, Solar Bear talking about we should put solar on top of these grow houses in agrovoltaics. And then we started talking more. And then I heard about an outside corporation that is, you know, up in the northeastern part of the state, that it's buying up massive amounts of land to house growing houses. And it just dawned on me, Robert, that I was like, you know, well, this really is not what I think, you know, the state of Minnesota saw when they was doing all this. And our lawmakers can't see all the angles.
You right. know?
But I think as, like I said, we mature, you know, I'm starting to see that we need to be able to have some type of certification, some type of education around this so we can legitimize the industry. And then, you know, allow for our, you know, residents to, you know, participate and hold these in that, you know, be one of the milestones that anybody who wants to participate in this industry has to, you know, abide to.
Absolutely. And I just, you know, it reminds me of predators, you know, that come in during a hailstorm or people outside if there's a tornado. And we need to license our local people and not these big conglomerates that really don't care about the community and care about, like you said, the education that has to come with getting a license like this.
Yeah. And I hope, Robert, that, you know, we continue to have these conversations. And as soon as I find out exactly when the symposium is, I will let you know, Robert, and then you can announce it on the show.
Absolutely. Hey, Robert, we're going to take a break between you and I, and we're going to have Roya on with us the next segment, but we're going to end the show with you again. So hold on, stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we were just talking with Robert Blake of Solar Bear with the cannabis news, and then later on the show it'll be with the solar news. Ho-wa. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. Addressing the nation from the Oval Office, President Biden makes his case for major U.S. backing of Ukraine and Israel in a time of war. Mr. Biden says tomorrow he'll send to Congress an urgent budget request. It's expected to be around $100 billion.
The security package I'm sending to Congress and asking Congress to do is an unprecedented commitment to Israel's security that will sharpen Israel's qualitative military edge, which we've committed to.
The president says making sure Israel and Ukraine succeed is vital for America's national security. CBS's Charlie Daggett is in Tel Aviv.
They would have been watching very closely here in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, Tehran. The Israeli forces are gearing up for what we believe is going to be a ground offensive. The Israeli defense minister saying to his troops that you are now going to see Gaza from the inside. We went there ourselves to watch Israeli forces training for what's about to come.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, we are here with Roya Taylor, and Roya's at the KFAI studio here, and she's chiming in here, and we wanted to get Roya on and talk about what's going on, one, with her show, and two, what's going on in the Native community. So I thought it'd be a good time to reach out to Roya and say a big ahoo. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio, Roya.
Oh, thank you, Robert. You two caught me flat-footed there. I was going to try and howl in unison with you. I forgot about that at the beginning of every episode there, so I missed it. You'll just have to have me on again sometime. At least I wasn't singing, so nobody wants to see that. Anyway, Halito and Noah and Kari to all my relatives out there across Turtle Island. That's why I always start my program every week here at KFAI Fresh Air Community Radio. KFAI.org. You can always stream it there and then pick us up on the broadcast from the 24/7 schedule on Friday nights at 6 p.m. Turtle Island time, or Central Daylight Time, as we still call it here. So,
yeah. And Roya, talk a little bit about your show before we get into what's happening in the community. What do you do on your show? I know I've had the great privilege of being on your show a few times, and were together at the fair.
Yes. Yes. Robert was my date for the evening at the we did a 2-hour block there where we combined or blended my hour at 6 and Robert's hour at 7 here on KFAI. If anybody didn't realize it, but Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, the best of from the previous week, always airs at 7 p.m. here at KFAI 90.3. in Minneapolis. So we did that combined show. We had a great time. We had some great music, some great guests.
Yeah, I actually listened to that one, Roya, and I think we lost you there for a second, but I remember I did listen to that two-hour special that you guys did together, and you really put me on to some Buffy St. Marie, so I got to give you a shout-out for that. I love that. No, Gangladesh or whatever she said.
Yeah, I was going to say Gilgamesh, but that's wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a good old classic there, so glad we could do that. But, yeah, my program is on Preceding Roberts every Friday night, 6 p.m. In fact, tomorrow night, I'm just working on finishing up. We're going to do, my spouse and I do an irregular or occasional, however you want to refer to it, a movie review program. Mm-hmm. So we're highlighting a couple of new films and then maybe I don't know if it's a classic yet, but it's an older one from 2008 and then one from 2018. So you may, people have to tune in to hear more about that. Our take on whether these are worth spending the time, the dime, and maybe finding it on their streaming service.
Yeah. Well, we got a big movie coming up. Yes. Wendy and I have tickets for Friday night to go see Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, the Robert Pyle or Bobby P story. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We all wish we were Osage, right?
Well, back in then, it was a little scary, but after that, it sounded pretty good.
Yeah. That's the show, I guess. Hoping to try and get you back on maybe next week when we do some more fundraising here at KFEI. So we're in the commercial band of the, what do they call that? The ether, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and it's getting to be fundraising time too at KFEI, and it's always good to support that great station, and I feel honored about putting the best of on that station once a week.
Yeah, so do we. I'm glad you're on that 24/7 schedule. And of course, people can go to kfei.org and pick it up to 2 weeks in the archives. They just have to go back to the I can't remember how it's loaded up, but just go to kfei.org and then you click on archives, and then you have to go day by day. So that's every Friday. And you'll see Good Medicine at 6, and then Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, presents at 7.
Well, Roya, we went and saw For the People, and there's a big article, a Q&A with you in there.
Yes.
I was like, wow, I know this person.
Yeah, it was in the Playbill. I did that interview about a month ago. I had been involved in helping the Guthrie anti Defoe and Larissa Fast Horse with Indigenous Direction. Although it's interesting because Larissa's on the West Coast and Ty's on the East Coast. So I don't know I suppose all of it is Indigenous Direction, as you're always telling us. You know, every day is Indigenous People's Day. So every direction is Indigenous Direction. So
that's right.
They've got both coasts covered there, but they have been workshopping this project for the last 2.5 years. So I was fortunate to be involved in multiple rehearsals. And the stage reading, which took place earlier this year, and then they've been able to bring it to fruition here with the Guthrie's collaboration, and it's now being shown on the Proscenium Theater.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us as Native actors and Native performers, you know, you always have that, the Guthrie's kind of standing there as a regional jewel of theater. And so it's great that this story is now being told. It's about Franklin Avenue. It's called For the People.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars many different Native actors from both coasts, most notably Wes Studi.
Right.
And we have some three local actors, Adrian Zamiga January, who's Lakota, and Ernest Briggs, who is from White Earth, and Nathaniel Two Bears, I believe. He is Hoke. Yeah.
He's the people of the Sacred Voice, and he plays Sage. I like how Wes Studi's character is Herb Ogieshik. There's an O in there, like he's Irish.
Yeah, that was the joke when we were running it in script, refinement. I think that was that line was originally in there. I think they took it out, so.
Yeah, I didn't hear. It was pretty fun. And two, you need to be careful, Roya, if you're in the front row, because there is a raining.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, that's one of the big surprises. I remember that from the stage reading. Of course, we didn't have special effects. This was at the Indian Center. So I understand it's gone off really well. People really appreciate that at the end. So I haven't seen it for myself yet. I'm hoping to maybe see it tomorrow night or certainly sometime soon.
Yeah, definitely. What else is going on in the community here? I mean, it always seems like when it rains, it pours. There's things happening, book readings, and we're going to be down at the Minnesota Historical Society on Saturday doing a live show. There's a awesome reframing our story.
Right.
And we'll be down there interviewing people and just having a good old time Saturday.
Yeah, well, I was going to mention that, Robert, but before we get to that, tomorrow evening, preceding the For the People performance at the Guthrie, starting at 6 o'clock, I believe it is, I am going to be making a reprise there with along with Trish Cook, a Red Lake comedian, and Juanita Espinosa, who is Spirit Lake. I believe that's Spirit Lake, Dakota. And we're going to be telling stories about Franklin Avenue from our recollection, our memories. In fact, I just met with the two of them this morning. We had coffee and breakfast and just had a good old time and visiting together and kind of laying out the storytelling order and what we were going to wear and sharing with you. I got to go get my hair done, nails, makeup and all that. So anyway, that's it. You can still catch that. There's a flyer that's going around on social media. It's from the Guthrie Theater, and it'll tell you you have to request, I think it's called BIPOC is the code, BIPOC. Mm-hmm. You can get access. I believe it's free access, and I think there might be a slight charge for the actual performance afterwards, but just go to the Guthrie Theater and you'll see it there. And so that's tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I did see that and I was a little confused. So that's another thing that's happening there.
Well, that's for people like Haley's age, you know, these younger Indigenous Native folks.
Right on.
For us elders, I think we get a freebie on this, free pass. So.
Yeah, well, in between naps, I'll get a free pass because I'm a baby elder, you know. Oh, boy.
In training, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
So, hey, we're here with KFAI Good Medicine host Roya Taylor, and we're talking a little bit about her show on KFAI, but also what's happening around the Twin Cities. And boy, we're lucky to be here in this vibrant community.
Yeah, you know, when I was looking at the calendar several weeks out, I thought, oh, wow, that October, November are really going to be exciting, very full of activities. It's almost like around Indian Month in May when there's so many things going on. But yeah, you're right. Saturday, October 21st at 11 a.m., reframing our stories over at the Minnesota History Center. That's up there on, what is that? I'm trying to remember the cross streets. But, you know, it's right there just looking out.
That cathedral and
Kellogg.
Kellogg.
Yeah, Kellogg Boulevard. Yeah, right there. So there's some limited free or paid parking that's available. That, you know, Rita Walsick Arndt, she's involved in the, I think they call it the Indigenous or Native Initiatives there at the Minnesota Historical Society. And so that's something they've been working on for several years. It's going to be exciting to see photographs and a narrative that's going to be shared. Many different individuals we would all know or recognize historically, but maybe even some more contemporary voices. And then the same day at 2 p.m. down in Red Wing is We Are All Related. So, Matakiapes. That is something that the city of Red Wing is putting on to commemorate Indigenous Peoples Month. That's another thing. You know, we started out with just a day when they won the reclamation of October the 12th from that Italian sailor who got lost there several hundred years ago. And now we're claiming the whole month, you know, just, right, like, you know.
Well, Roya, thanks for stopping in and really appreciate it. You can hear Roya on KFAI on Fridays at 6. And then my show, The Best Of, Native Roots Radio. Thank you so much. And we're going to have you on again real soon.
Yeah, sounds good, Robert. Thanks, Haley.
Thanks, Roya.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, we're going to have a surprise guest. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Robert Blake, as promised, with the Solar Bear, with the Solar News. Welcome back, Robert.
Hey, thanks, Robert, for having me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're wearing two hats today. We were just listening to Robert Blake with the cannabis news, and now we're with Robert Blake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. So hit us with the solar news.
Well, you know, Robert, there's a lot happening in the energy transition, right? And one of them is clean hydrogen. And so this is going to be another kind of, you know, part of that, you know, transition that's going to be happening with electric vehicles, hydrogen vehicles. You know, this will be powering, like, you know, take for instance, like big semi trucks, right? Airplanes, you know, things like that, right? So what had just happened is the U.S. Department of Energy is investing $7 billion in America's first regional clean hydrogen hubs. There's seven across the nation. I believe there's Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, I think, and Illinois maybe. And it's the deployment of low-cost clean hydrogen, kickstarting a national network of clean hydrogen producers, consumers, and infrastructure. Now, you know, the one thing that, you know, Robert, like, I think kind of in the last, you know, segment we kind of talked about is, you know, corporate money kind of taking over. And what I would advocate for on this, or what I would hope, is that in these, each of these regions across the country, that the benefits from that particular hydrogen development go into those regions. You know what I mean? And so, what I don't want to happen, and what I'm afraid is going to happen, is that these hydrogen hubs and all of this infrastructure that's being developed to basically do this is then going to be sold to the oil companies.
Exactly.
And I think that the oil companies see this play, and this is part of, you know, kind of their angle, and what and what they want to do is take over this market and then buy this infrastructure for pennies on the dollar. Kind of something similar that happened during, you know, the credit crisis and the big banks and the way that, you know, they were bailed out and they paid pennies on the dollar, right, for all this. So I kind of see the same, you know, I don't want to say steal, but situation kind of emerging. And I would want everybody to know that they heard it here first on the Solar Bear with the Solar News on the Native Roots Radio Network, that we need to, as the public, need to advocate that this is not what happens.
You know, it, when you're talking about that, I think of, and I could be totally wrong, but I feel like there's too many laws against us grabbing free energy as it is. I mean, why can't I have a nice size windmill and where all this wind is happening by my house to to save in batteries? And but it's against the law to have something like that in the city.
Right. Yeah. And I think, and that's a great, like, you know, because when I think about tribes and their ability to lead in this transition, they don't have all of those rules.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
And when we're faced with the crisis that we're being faced with around the planet, around the world, you know, this really does, you know, it can't have all this red tape. You know what I mean? Yeah. If we're going to find the different solutions. So I think you're totally right, Robert. And we really have to look at a multifaceted way of that. We're going to all consume our energy, whether it be wind, a combination of wind, solar, hydro, what have you, geothermal, because, and like you said, the rules doesn't allow you to do that.
Right.
So, that's where we're, like I said, tribes are really going to be able to make inroads, as they create their own tribal utilities. They'll be able to create market share, grab market share. And this is going to be a big opportunity for tribal nations in the future to be a part of.
Yeah, I think the hit is too, and we talked a little bit earlier in the show about Red Lake and being a sovereign nation, and to remind our listeners what a sovereign nation is. It would be like the United States dealing with France or, England. We're a sovereign nation and we have our own laws and our own police and of course, our people live there. So there's things that we should be able to do and not have to ask for permission, especially when it comes to solar and wind.
Yeah. And so one of the things too, is that, big investor owned utilities, like say Xcel Energy, right? Mm-hmm. They have a thing called the franchise agreement, and they have a franchise agreement with the city of St. Paul for 20 years. That's what they sign with them. Now, they only have a franchise agreement with the city of Minneapolis for 10 years. But when I think about that, there's been reports from people that said that, well, Xcel Energy doesn't really listen to my complaints on St. Paul's side. People in Minneapolis say, well, they listen to my complaints. Maybe it's because they have 10 more years.
Right.
So it's things like that, right? I think we have to rethink, And that's going to come from city governments, and that's going to come from the voters.
Right.
Robert.
Also coming from education, from what you're doing and talking to us about. Would not be my radar unless we're talking about it here. Right.
Someone told me at a community event that I was speaking at, they were like, Xcel Energy has an agreement with the city of St. Paul for 20 years. And I said, yeah, you think the Xcel Energy Center in downtown St. Paul is on accident?
Right.
It's stuff like that. Right. And they only have one, and they only have a franchise agreement with the city of Minneapolis for 10. And so it's those things that, when I speak at these events, Robert, that mm-hmm. I really do try to educate the public about. Hey, Robert, I want to jump to a story around electric vehicles. And I really think this is important because it's about unions.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the biggest Ford plant in the country. And it's basically the United Auto Workers in Chicago. And this is Ford's longest running manufacturing plant, Robert. But get this. They are wondering if they're going to be able to maintain job security as we transition over into this electric vehicle market.
Hmm.
So this is really going to be something that's going to be at the forefront, I think, of unions, and especially, with the big three, because, here's the thing. These electric vehicles are going to last longer.
Right.
And they're going to go longer. And so there is going to be that, where we're going to have to figure out how do we get our auto workers, how do we get our workforce retooled in other aspects of this transition, So I think this is a really interesting piece, and I think it's going to be a bigger story down the line.
Well, Robert, what about, I think of that, and it's the same thing with watches. I have to get a new watch every 2 years. I think, just because there's more and better technology on the phone or the watch, and hopefully these companies can see that and make it affordable that we can get a new car every 2 years because, it's a cool thing or there's things helping it. But yeah, we got to stay tuned to that. Hey, Robert, thanks for being on twice today. Go ahead, say it. It's the Solar Bear.
It's the Solar News with the Solar Bear.
Right on. Hey, Pini Gigi, thanks for everyone being on the show. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.